Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. Grateful that each of you who can and will join us tonight on this February 22nd, 2022 wheel. We're wrapping up Black History Month. Yes, we are indeed. And as you know, we are focusing on offering some informative lectures on historical things that certainly I'm convinced can be very useful in our effort to improve the quality of life for particularly urban American young people, all right? And so we're focusing our attention on the idea of Black History Month being educational and transformative, okay? And so talk straight. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And again, we're grateful for everyone who will join us tonight. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. Now, we're trying this thing again with this live stream. Last couple of episodes, for some reason, I do not know why, we've had technical difficulties. It's raining a little bit out there and storming outside of the office here, and I hope that doesn't deter us tonight for the next about 2 hours here, hour and 50 minutes. But just come on, give us a call here. If you look, follow us on Facebook live stream, the number to call into the studio, 657-383-0944. Should we have any problems, we will pause and do our best to start the show over again, okay? But we welcome you nonetheless. So, you know, we're going to go ahead with our monologue here and introduce you to our topic for this evening. And if you follow us on Facebook, you know what that is already. And we definitely, again, encourage you to join the live conversation here in the podcast studio as we dive into tonight's topic and strive to understand some things here from a historical standpoint, but more importantly, from a instructional standpoint. What can we do with it in 2022, starting February 22nd, 2022? As Talk Straight has wrapped up the lecture series on Black History Month, so far we've had three other topics. We've talked about the father of Black History Month being Carter Goodwin Woodson. We followed that conversation up with Brother Du Bois, Frederick Douglass, who really is the father of Negro voting freedom. And behind Frederick Douglass, we brought Edward Burghardt Du Bois, who we were trying to speak of, and we spoke of his contributions in education and social orientation for learning for former slaves, even to this present point. And as we promised, we're going to talk a little bit about one of his contemporaries and who some people, I don't agree with that, try to pit him against as an adversary, Booker T. Washington. They both had the same interests, slightly different focus, apparatus, or methodologies to get into the end, but they had the same goal. Booker Taliaferro Washington, guru of African-American entrepreneurship. So tonight, that's what we're going to look at, is how we can use this as a means of self-determination, economic independence, and strength. What lessons can we draw? All right, so join us tonight. Again, this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Hopefully, our co-host, Pastor Waller, will be able to join us tonight here soon or then later. And our regular callers there, feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call. Again, we're speaking to you from our platform here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook live stream. And the topic tonight is Booker T. Washington, guru of African-American entrepreneurship, on this Tuesday night, February 22nd, 2022. All right, let's get into it. The text in 3 John 1 and 2 very simply says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Suggests to me that the writer is encouraging and admonishing and wishing for economic support and independence and prosperity. Okay? And I think that's apropos to where we want to go tonight in terms of understanding what was the philosophy and the primary contribution of Booker T. Washington. All right, we'll again probably speak a little bit about some of his ideas that overlap with Du Bois, even Douglass, and even Carter G. Woodson. All right, but specifically tonight, we're focusing on Booker Taliaferro Washington. He wrote a book in 1901 entitled Up From Slavery. In this book, Washington relates the story of his own life from birth to adulthood. While introducing his story, or his theory, essentially, on racial uplift, and using his own personal life example and story to get people to understand how, after slavery, one can really bring themselves up. See, he was born in 1856, and this is a time that just before the Civil War ended, well, actually, before it started, he was born, but after it ended, he was a young man. but he was one who used his own life as an example. His life began in Franklin County, Virginia. Following the emancipation and the end of the Civil War, Washington and his family, including his mother and his stepfather, his sister and his older brother, they moved to Malden, Virginia, where Washington's stepfather secured work at a salt furnace. Now, first few years of slavery are difficult for his family, but Washington is curious. His mind is turning. He's ambitious. He's one of those children who had pursuit and had drive, right? He wanted to learn. His first glimpse of education came from working at the salt furnace with his dad. Following this, he received a spelling book from his mother, and with it, he masters the alphabet. Isn't that something? And you got to keep it in context now. You Negroes are not supposed to read, really. That's a no-no. Here this man had a drive. This young man had a drive. When a literate black man from Ohio came to his city, he offered his services as a teacher in the town. And he specifically focused on these services being there for Negroes or blacks. In this way, Washington began to develop academically because somebody came in, an outsider, who broke the norms. Now, eventually, a school that holds both day and night classes opens in a new nearby town, and Washington went there. He attends it. He works each day after he got off from the salt furnace. He goes there to school. Now, at work, Washington hears the word of a new school for blacks called the Hampton Institute. He says to himself, man, I got to go there. I'm going there. But he continues to work and to raise money in order for him to travel to Hampton. This is in the Virginia area. And this school provided some sense of beacon or some sense of hope for him. What we should know here is that though there were challenges to his freedom, even though he grew up in that time frame where the Civil War was heat and battle, and even after the Civil War, this young man, had a desire to be educated and to be free. He wasn't looking for anybody to give him anything. But he demonstrated the willingness to work for what he had. That's something in particular that we should impart as a value base for every young person today in 2022. We kind of heard that when we talked about that with W.B. Du Bois, right? The value of education, that being a driving force. Now, of course, Du Bois had this concept of how to ensure that for young people, and some may disagree with it. But nonetheless, this is a way that he and both Washington were in direct and strict agreement. The importance of valuing learning and not making excuses for yourself. See, but doing what you could for yourself. You can see how this shaped Washington's experience. When we looked at Du Bois, we saw how he grew up in a town in Massachusetts where, you know, that was a focus on this education. And people there, it wasn't hard to sell it to them. And many of them had these things coming immediately to them. But where Washington was in Virginia, it wasn't that easy. You had to want it. And you had to work to get it and to keep it. But that didn't stop him. So you can see the young man worked and he went to school to educate himself. Fortunately, there was a man that came from Ohio that offered his services to Negroes at the time, they would call them. See, and again, this was a rare experience. Just keep in mind, not too long Before then, even a white man can go to jail for teaching a Negro how to read. What's interesting about today is that too many of our young people behave as though they fight against the idea of formal learning. And you got to pull and prod. Not everybody. Not everybody. I'm not suggesting that that's everybody. But for far too many of them. See? And for those that that's the case, that's too many. I love them enough. Encourage them otherwise. You with me? All right. So as we continue to talk about Booker T. Washington here in Virginia and how he grew up, let's talk about some of the things that he's most noted for. I began by talking about this book, Up From Slavery. And as I read his work and other things, I studied some of his other writings, I wondered, what was this big theme that Washington was trying to get across in his book, Up From Slavery? And as I mentioned earlier, he used his own life story as the context, knowing that he wasn't the only one and that there were a great many people who needed to find the encouragement, the drive, the support to bring themselves up. Despite what slavery did, there were a great many of individuals. This is the lesson we have to teach young people. Even with hard times today, whatever they may be, however you may perceive them, you have got to find the drive within you to press forward and bring your very best out and to make success a reality for you. Not waiting on somebody to give it to you. You got to make it happen for you. What do you want? What is your goal? What is your aspiration? That's what you have to work toward. Now, ironically, slavery ended. Yeah. And after the brutal battle of the Civil War, black men and white men were dead, and their blood is in on the grounds of American soil. Right? And now the Union and the what used to be the Confederate are seeking ways to bring it back, bring itself back together. Right? And then the, what's known as a historical period called the Reconstruction, really. Arguably, it started after 1865, but certainly 1867 to about 1879, 75 to 79. And the general that was the general that led the end of the Civil War, Grant, Ulysses Grant, became the president. And he found himself struggling with the question, how do we reconstruct America and the Union? And the North had an idea about how that should happen, and even the South did. But there were people like Booker T. Others we've discussed, but specifically the night Booker T. He had an idea. What do we do to empower these people who were once the slaves? How do we motivate them? How do we build them up? How do we catapult them into their own independence and to benefit from the promise of American citizenship that's been afforded them now? Previously taken away or kept away, but now afforded them. Well, Booker T has some ideas. His primary focus was education and entrepreneurship. Education and entrepreneurship. And that informed a lot of his life work. You see, he could have got what he wanted for himself and went off and went somewhere else. Yeah, he could have. But guess what? This man was concerned about more than just himself. So he availed himself in such a way that he was able to go and get others. Now, interestingly enough, Du Bois talked about bringing other people on, right? Bringing other people. You get there, 10 people get there, they reach back and bring 10 people up. Well, Booker T was like, well, look, I know something that the Negro does well. Not that he's got letters in it, but he has an expertise in it. And that's building the South, building America, building the railroads, bridges. They've done it well. Never got credit for it, but they've done it well. They displayed ingenuitive skills, math skills, measurement skills. They never got credit for it, but they did it. Too often you don't hear about these inventions, electric inventions and things of that nature, apparatus. But it has happened. Booker T. founded what was called the National Negro Business League. The National Negro Business League. It was others that with him that founded this. Their focus was about business development. They understood that in economics in America, in this capitalistic society, if you can participate in the business industry, you can have pretty much what your white counterparts want had. That's interesting. That still exists as an opportunity in 2022. Now, it's oddly enough that there were a number of things passed legislatively over the last 4 or 5 years that is striking to me that many people are not aware of. Either they don't know or they don't care. But this is the answer to young folks who are asking, where's our resources? What's for me? And why must I be happy American? Well, there's an answer to the question. The question is, are you willing to position yourself to take full advantage of those opportunities? That's the real question, beloved. All right? Booker T, in addition to founding the National Negro Business League, he was engaged in things like the Tuskegee Institute, right? It was called a normal school, and it became the Black College Tuskegee, found in Alabama, right? Didn't make excuses, but even in what used to be one of the slave states of Alabama, they turned this terrible thing into an opportunity. Right? He was the principal. He served as the principal there at Tuskegee. This is what he engaged himself in. These are some of the activities. Not selfishly, but openly given. In 1895, Booker T. gave a speech. Now, you may have heard this. We kind of referenced this the other week. And it was known as the Atlanta, compromise, quote unquote. In this speech, he addressed Black progress or Negro progress as being primarily achieved through learning, educational development, and the starting of individuals' own businesses and entrepreneurship. Now, that was a huge risk for a lot of reasons. But he talked about in this compromise how these two things, education and business development, entrepreneurship, again, this is where he and Du Bois were on the same sheet of music. Okay? Now, for him, that's what Black progress meant. He did not want Negroes, Blacks, colored, Afro-Americans, or today African-Americans, to be caught up with the nonsensical argument and the challenge of things that were terrible, low down and dirty, Jim Crow. He didn't want them to be distracted by that, but he wanted them to know that you should be focused on doing for yourself, building for yourself, because he realized these things existed, right? At the time, he drew a lot of attention because he did not like Frederick Douglass focused on voting and the disenfranchisement of voting, right? Particularly in the South. His thing was make your money, and, you know, when you make your money, you go live your life. He didn't think heavily that voting was the route. I don't think he was against voting, but he asked himself, what do we do best? What's the immediate way to bring relief, financial, economic relief to ourselves and our families? Education and business. Interestingly enough, in 2020, there are young people, particularly African-Americans, all across urban America. They will tell you in a heartbeat. They don't have no reason to vote. They ain't interested in it. But what they want is to make that money. Isn't that something? You can have both of them. Some of what Frederick Douglass was saying, some of what Du Bois was saying, and much of what this brother Booker T. Washington is saying, it's a, if you will, it's the ingredients for your success. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. So a little bit of all of those things can go into the hope that you're looking for, right? Now, interestingly enough, Washington all of a sudden became very, very popular in the eyes of the most elitist African-Americans or Negroes at the time, as well as whites. What whites heard from him is, okay, even though we done you wrong, and now we can't do you wrong anymore. Slavery, black codes have been made illegal. Jim Crow did come into existence, right? And then now you can vote and you got certain rights with the 14th Amendment. White folk heard him say, listen, go do for yourself and compete economically in America. And don't allow those things to distract you. Guess what? He got support from many whites. Because there were those who believed that if you don't mind working hard, developing your business, and taking care of yourself, we don't mind helping you do that. I'm convinced that that's the case today. So the drive of race, yes, there are individuals, whites and blacks, who are bigoted and caught up in their own frustration and anger, right? I'm convinced that the vast majority of people, though, don't mind getting along with one another, sharing U.S. of A. Now, there's a problem if you tell me, doctor, I want to come in your house, I want to eat and sleep, and you pay for everything, and I don't have to do much. That's going to be a problem. I understand that. Now, if there's somebody who needs to know the way and you need a little help for a little while, that's another story, too. But there ought to be a drive and a focus for educating people and giving them the tools, the knowledge, resources to be economically independent. That is the key to success in America. Education provides you knowledge, and it becomes the language of communication, right? And it provides the opportunity, open those doors of opportunity for you to develop your own self economically. And you can have whatever you want. With economic dependence, you control your quality of life. No one else does. Education, again, empowers you to know how to do that. You see? And so what's key here is that even though this was in 1870, 1880 or so, here we are in 2022, the same principles apply. Same principles apply. What he did was to work hard to mobilize nationally coalitions of people, not just blacks, but religious leaders, people that were philanthropic, that had money, even politicians, right? And what his goal was long term was to build a community of economic strength and to give people a sense of self-pride, right? And through Tuskegee, he was able to demonstrate how you can empower yourself through learning, and to this very day, Tuskegee Institute is a landmark, particularly in the African-American experience in America. It is not the only one, but it's an iconic reminder of what can happen when someone is focused, right, on certain outcomes. So you're listening to the Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Give me a call. Give me a call right now, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call here in the studio. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. I love to engage you in conversation here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Hopefully, other callers can call in. But we'll keep talking. We'll keep talking. We'll keep it going here for a little while. We're talking about Booker T. Washington. And what we're looking at is his contribution. Just as we did with Du Bois and as we did with Frederick Douglass and as we did with Carter Goodwin Whitson, we're looking at how it is we can take this information and most importantly, make it relevant to today. Make it relevant to today such that young folk can find some use of it, you know? And something that was brought out, the sister that was on the line with us the other day made a very powerful point. You can't speak in yesterday to these young folk today and expect them to really get much out of it. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So how do we translate this 100-and-some-year-old powerful knowledge to the language of today? And I got a call on from Jacksonville, Florida. That's where we're glad to have her. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight. Can you hear us, Jacksonville? Uh-oh. Let's see here. What's going on? Can you hear me? 3072. You're on Talk Straight. 3072. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm not.
Yeah, sure. I guess my phone was muted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now loud and clear. I can hear you now.
Perfect.
Good, good. How are you doing?
I am doing okay.
All right. You're staying beautiful?
Oh, I'm trying really hard.
Don't fool me, Dad. Listen, listen, listen.
Fool, I'm working on that.
Well, good, good. We're talking about Booker T. Washington tonight. And interestingly enough, you know, I was making the case in the monologue how he could have cried. He could have moped. He could have complained. You know what I mean? He could have called white people out, could have said, y'all low-down, dirty rascals. And, you know, for some people, he would have been telling the truth. You know what I mean? But no, what he did was to use the energy and the information he had to build educational institutions such as Tuskegee and to encourage those people that come out of slavery through hard times, hey, use what you got. You know what you can do. You built these railroads. You built these antebellum homes. If it wasn't for you, Washington, D.C. wouldn't exist. President Washington wouldn't have a home. You understand what I'm saying? The White House wouldn't be there if it wasn't for you. Let's take that and make it count for yourself. That's what he was saying. What do you think about that?
I think I would agree with him.
Okay.
And that's a great way to look at it instead of focusing on how you built it and slavery and, you know, things like that. But, yeah, make this work for you.
Right, right, right. I mean, you know, even if you had a bad experience, why not find a lesson in it? I got your main guy on. So y'all love him better than you love me, but that's all right. Pastor Wallace, co-host. Welcome, bro, Pastor. Welcome.
It's the teddy bear, yes, Pastor Teddy Bear.
I know Pastor Doctor know how to get one started. I tell you that.
Pastor, I love you too, man. Now, come on, man. You know I love you too, man.
Yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir. You know how to do it, brother. I just want to tune in and just see what's going on. And I know you got a lot going on since I called, man. I can tell So I don't break in. I'll just sit in and take a listen.
Well, you know what? I was just about to talk about you because I really believe that probably the most powerful thing about Booker T, Pastor Waller, is that he was not a man willing to cry over spilled milk, if I could use that that phrase, right? He wasn't trying to cry over no spilled milk. You understand what I'm saying? And I can appreciate your story that you have codified in both of your books. Essentially, you had a rough life. You know what I mean? You had some bad turns, but you weren't crying about them. Huh? No, you weren't crying about them. You took that lemon, found you some water, got it from. Can I get a witness? So talk to me about that, big brother. Look like we lost. He'll call us right back there. What about that 32? What about that? You know, we can make excuse. We can be, it hurt. It hurt. You know, we fall and make a boo-boo, scratch yourself. It hurt. But get on up. Somebody say get on
up. Get on up. Well, and that is the truth. At the end of the day, it ain't over until you say it's over.
Wow.
So when you give up,
right,
and throw the towel in, then that's when it's over. But who do you have really to be angry with? Yourself or the other fighter for being in the fight? He's a fighter.
Wow, you're saying something there.
You said
even if he knock you down, give you a solid punch, bow, bust you in the mouth.
Because you're in a fight. You're in the ring.
Yeah. So you said get on up. Get on up. Don't be embarrassed. Yeah, he'll hit you once. Don't let him hit you again. What about that, Pastor?
That's right.
What about that, Pastor Wall? Can you hear me, Brother?
Well,
Pastor
John, I know one thing that well, for sure, man, that I learned how to call upon someone that I knew nothing about. I just heard about it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like I was already so down as far as I can go.
Right.
And I said, if I get down any further, then I don't have a chance at all. So I thought about my mother.
Mm.
I thought about she didn't even go to church or anything.
Okay.
She didn't pray to church. Without, for whatever reason, I don't know if she thought they were shoving and jabbing in church or what, but just getting to the court.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear her say, Lord have mercy. I used to hear her say that when I was growing up, just a little kid. But then she would say later on, she would say, thank you, Jesus. And I wonder, I said, man, something must have happened between Lord have mercy and thank you, Jesus. I don't know if it was food on the table we need, clothes on my back. I don't know what it was, 37-2. All I know is I was growing up, and now I'm grown, and I'm caught up into this stuff and can't get free.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I wonder if I called on him when he respond to me. So I asked him to have mercy on me, man. But guess what? He didn't come when I wanted him.
Did he do it?
His own time, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. And that's how the change came. It was strange to a lot of people. It was strange to a lot of people, especially my community. And I say this with a genuine heart, that it was so shocking to them and even shocking to my mother. And my auntie attended the church that I went to on the
weekend.
And when my mother found out I went up there, she had a talk with my auntie, and she asked her question. She said, what y'all doing letting that boy come up in that church? 37-2, that's what she said. And, you know, they were really tight. They were really, really tight, you know. And my auntie told my mother, leave that boy alone, you know. And I thought that was so neat, and my life ended up changing.
She thought she was playing, probably.
She didn't want me to play. My mother made sure she let it be known. She made that call because she thought maybe that I'm getting ready to go in there and play like the church people, I guess. I don't know if they were playing. I just knew that this is serious stuff. I said, well, if my mom and my auntie had that kind of talk, then those two people are going to be my motivators, you know.
That's right.
And being concerned that I wasn't going to go up in there, that's why I came like I was. I mean, that's why I brought all my troubles with me. You know, I brought drugs in the church. I did things like that. And I'm not saying that boastfully, but that's how my life changed. Because if I had left it on the outside and just went on into the church, I'm going to pick it back up when I leave back out anyway. So I brought it all with me to make sure that I wasn't shucking and jiving and he met me right where I was at, man. And I just thank God that he allowed me to come in that way. So, it was tough, but I had to do something other than what I was doing continually. And it worked out. It worked out for the good. And that's how those two books came into existence, man.
Well, you know what,
Pastor? It sounded like he came with a sincere heart. I mean,
sure.
Well said, that's what it was.
And you can see that. You can see that in his writings. I'm talking about Pastor Wallace right now. That he may not have been on the level of other folk at the time, but as he reflected on those key experiences. My son, I told you about my son, like one of the things in your latest book where you talked about the coach, Pastor Wallace, and the referee and the rules to the game. You understand what I'm saying? Those are, it may seem small to somebody, but that's practical. You with me?
Yeah.
That's practical. That's a practical concept that don't cost you no money. You don't have to go to pay no tuition to get that. You with me, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. You're right about that.
If you don't mind, just kind of talk to us a little bit about that piece in the book where you talked about how the importance of a referee being there to make sure things are fair. You understand what I'm saying? And that there's balance. Pastor, if you don't mind, just...
Yes.
Just that a little bit
first. I can elaborate on it a little bit. Yes, I can. My partner, he was the point guard, and he was the captain of the team, and I was also a co-captain. So we would have to meet the referee, and the referee would explain to us the things that he was supposed to explain to us. Now, the coach is supposed to the referee ain't getting ready to dip in that. He just knew, as a referee, he got certain things he's going to share with you.
That's
and
right.
And that's what he made sure we found out, so we wouldn't have no excuse. And then when it was time for, something that the coach supposed to know that the referee didn't tell us, that was not the referee's job. So I respect the referee so much that I was able to apply everything that he shared with us when the game started. So because the game had to start.
Right.
So when the game starts, the referee got that whistle, man, and he ready to blow that thing. Now, he don't have a whistle for nothing. He loved to be in the game, too. He don't want to just run up and down the court with a whistle in his mouth and don't blow it. He can't wait for you to do something.
He want to use that thing.
That's right. He's in the game, brother. So I love that, knowing that when I gave it to the one that I knew all about me, he knew all the things. He understood everything about me, and that's the thing about that particular portion of the book, man. It made a lot of sense. My coach did the best he could. He gave us all the instructions. And 72, I'll say this, and I'll turn it back over. My coach, I just getting in this property, and while I was in elementary school going to the community center, I wasn't playing school ball or anything. I got my best coaching in elementary when I was at the community center. This man would take the X's and O's and get on that chalkboard and make them look like men running around, setting sticks and throwing this and that. I mean, the man did it so well. We was like X's and O's on the court. He was so good at it. I mean, seriously, for real, I'm just saying that. And he's in my second book, too, not to mention. Coach Charles Walker, man. I admire him so much. And it took me 40 years, 3072, I had to confess to him. Because I knew that he's big in sports. And so I knew he was watching the pro ball games and the college ball games. Matter of fact, he's called college ball games. And all I could think about for many years is that how I let him down. So I didn't want to be around in no kind of way. So at that event, they had an event for me in 2016, and he was a part of it. And I remember confessing to him, and he was able to tell me that what I do now is much better than what I used to do as far as where I was. Yeah, but it took me 40 years to confess to him. But I thought he was going to say, well, you should have won this, you should have done this. He didn't belittle me, he didn't put me down. He was grateful for me confessing. He knew how good I was. He knew how good I was. I didn't. I didn't know. Because I never seen no films in me. I never seen anything.
So you just avoided him all the time?
Oh, yeah, as much as I could. Because I knew he was watching those ball games. I knew he was saying from time to time that I should have went to the pros and my partner should have went to the pros. I knew he was saying that. But I found out he wasn't saying it in a negative way.
Right.
And it was really touching that when he shared that with me about him knowing that he appreciated, you know, my confessing that to him. Because he had a right to think that, because he knew I mean, this man taught me some things that I utilized for many years on that basketball court that actually worked. So, but that's it, though, yeah. Read that part of the book you'll see about Coach Charles Watkins.
Yeah. But, Pastor, and that here's something else that I wanted to ask 72. Y'all know that there are a lot of people, and I was just going to say young people, but it's some old people that's walked around with a lot of latent hate and malice in their heart for things that have happened over the years. Pastor, we lost your conversation back 72. You understand what I'm saying? And and a lot of times it's couched in the phrase of race, right? But even amongst one another, people have strife and hidden hatred. You understand what I'm saying? And let me ask you this. What happens to a person who's not able to let that go? Yeah, America is only about 240-some years old, and she's got a black eye from her experience. But here in 2022, have there not been some advancements to where we can at least look toward having better relationships with one another? 72, and I'm going to ask you, because I got a quote from Booker T. Washington I want to shoot at you when you respond to that. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like there's been, man, too many advances to try to name that have been made since before we had, you know, we had a reason to be upset or to walk around with our heads down or to believe that we were less than.
Right. I'm sorry,
you know,
to cut you off.
So yeah, I mean, wow, right. So now it's up to you.
I'm gonna play
and walk around with hatred and just grudging is only hurting you. It's only hurting you.
Okay, but suppose every day I wake up, I'm hitting it hard. You understand what I'm saying? I can't see myself living the American dream. Everybody else seemed to be happy but me. Don't I have a right to have a little edge on my shoulder? You know what I mean? The mean mug, the first person that comes by me, here you are smiling, you happy, you satisfied, and I'm over here struggling. Now, don't I got a right?
Well, it's God gave you that right. You can do whatever you want to do, but again, how productive or how helpful that's going to be to you. And then I think, too, people get so I think misled on what happiness means to them. Their definition of happiness. Maybe they, you know, I would just recommend someone to reconsider what is really making you happy and what's the driving force behind you feeling like that's making you happy or you're happy.
Right.
Things could always be worse. Things could always be worse at any time for anybody in their life.
I believe that'll preach right there, 72. Yes, sir. That'll walk some water right there. Well, here's the quote, Pastor, in 3072. Booker T. said, I will permit no man to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him. Look, good God Almighty. That's powerful, ain't it? That's powerful.
Yeah.
Let me read that again.
Read it.
He said, I will permit no man to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him. That's something, man. Don't you take
to me, it sounds like that. It sounds like, and you have to, again, look at definitions. To me, he spoke volumes because I feel like that. Now, I am not a fighter at all.
Okay.
But if you make me have to come out of my shoes and take my necklace and earrings off and all that, I don't want
to
hurt you, but like he said, because you pulled me out of where I'm comfortable.
I see.
Now you done drug me out in the street. Here we go.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So I feel him. He's a human being. and he don't want to be put on an animal level.
Right.
He don't
right.
ever want, I don't want that either.
Hmm.
But if you pull me out there, what can I do? I got to get back to my safe place, so I need to get
wow.
you out the way now.
Wow. Wow. What
right.
about that? What about that, Pastor?
I mean, rightfully so. I mean, that's just something that's called defense, you know?
Hmm.
So
yeah.
if I'm just playing defense, it's got to be another side. So what about me playing some offense and try to get back? that's one of the things that I learned. I mean, you all said some great things, and I like how you said to put that together. I'm going to share something with you. I still remember the community center and everything. It was in North Ashley, Elizabeth Center.
Mm.
We was playing against Elizabeth Center at Elizabeth Center. And we little boys and everything, so we was at the free throw line, and we was all lined up.
Mm-hmm.
But in case the free throw person to shoot the free throw miss or something, so we got to get the rebound. The guy next to me, which I believe he might have been a year older than me or something like that, playing on the team that he probably shouldn't have been playing on, but nevertheless, it didn't matter who's on the court. When I play, I'm going to play, I'm going to go at it. Told me, he said, that you better not jump up for this rebound.
What?
Man, that man took
a what?
Yes, he did. I still remember that guy. The guy at the free throw, and I'm thinking about my coach on the sideline, saying that I didn't try to get that rebound. I said to myself, whatever you going to do, I'm saying to myself now. You just going to do it. I'm sure I'm going to try to get that rebound.
Okay, I'm
going at it. But that man, he told me that. He told me, he better not go for the rebound. So I guess he was using what he had to intimidate me.
Sure.
I don't
sure.
know how many other people felt like that before, but I thought about my coach. So, you know, things like that, and it made me look at that when 37-2 said that. When you got me up against it now, you know, I mean, I'm going to play fair.
Right.
What else am I to do? That you just take advantage of me continually? And,
right.
and that's one of the things we have to do. We have to make that known that today it's a little bit different now. You just can't continue to allow things to
right.
think when even
I mean,
the opponent
Pastor Waller, the walls of Jericho had to come down at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
right. That's right. Most definitely.
Okay, guys, we're joined by Selma, Alabama, my good friend Don G. Bevelio. Welcome, my friend.
How you doing?
Good. We're
hey, Don.
Don,
how
you
doing?
Know,
beautiful.
Brother Don.
Yes, sir, Reverend. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm all right, brother. Thank you for asking.
Good. Don, we're wrapping up this month with Booker T. Washington. I call him the guru of, for the lack of the right way of saying this, Don, you know you and I are cautious about saying Negro, Black, Colored, African American, because people have to identify themselves, right? But for the sake of our conversation tonight, I call him the guru of African American entrepreneurship. You talk heavily about encouraging young people to start their own business and be in control of their economics. This is what this brother's greatest contribution is. And we were just discussing one of his quotes. I got a few more that I want to share with us before we leave tonight. And Don, I'll reiterate that quote for you and give you an opportunity to comment on it. He said, "I will not permit no man to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him." What do you think about that, Don?
That's a fight man right there. That's a real
yes,
fight,
sir.
Man.
Yes,
you know what, Mr. Dockery, Booker
T
touched a lot of people.
He did.
Right here at Selma University, I went to school there, and I ran into W.R. Pettiforth, which was one of the first administrators of the school, who also built 16th Avenue Baptist Church. I remember where the three little girls got bombed in Birmingham.
Right, okay.
Pettiforth built that church. Pettiforth also found Alabama Pennies and Savings Bank, and it was the efforts that motivated him to do that with Booker T. Washington. And
right.
the other thing I would say something about the Moorish movement, I didn't know this. Booker T. Washington also inspired Marcus Garvey. So Booker T. is off the, I guess
well,
I could say off the chain. Because I was watching a movie the other night. They were showing about these soldiers in Houston I think it's World War One, and one of the main characters in the movie, he had read Up from Slavery. So Booker T is really a Mr. Darby, really heavy hitter.
Now, interestingly enough, Don, some people would like to try to say he was a sellout because he didn't allow the anger and frustration from slavery. He grew up in slavery. He was born in 1856, right? His dad and his mom and him. But he didn't allow that to stop him from educating himself. You understand what I'm saying? Starting his business and encouraging other people to start their business and really to be productive, to be powerful as a person. And a lot of times we people, good people, Pastor Waller, Don, and 3072, they allow their emotions to cloud their judgment. You see what I mean? And I think that's a lesson that we got to teach our babies today. Don't allow your hurt and pain stop you from being successful. Because that happens a lot. What do y'all think about that?
That's good.
You know?
I think that's great, Mr. Dark. We just lost a young person night before. He got killed over by projects.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Somebody shot him. They don't know who shot him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give Pastor Wallace some flowers right now. Brother was out there, and I saw some little babies out there, and I can't remember what they said, but they were out there testifying, and they raising them up, giving them
flowers. Oh, man.
I said, all right, they little brothers out there doing it. I just want to come out here, and it's something small like that. You'll be surprised how far that goes. Now, I know you know that, but I'm just giving you – see, I'm giving you some flowers right now because ain't no need me giving them to you when you're gone. You ain't going to know nothing about it. Is that right, Don?
Right.
You ain't going to know nothing about it. Let me go and give them to you right now. But I said, wow, that's Don, I'm in the office working and hustling, and I'm watching. I said, these are brothers out there doing it, man. But kudos to what you're saying because we could – you know, we get so – Don and I talk about this a lot. We get – and it could take us out of our game. You know what I'm saying, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Take us out of that game. So, but okay. I'm going to shoot this one at you, Don. Let me shoot this one at you. Here's another one that Washington said. He said, you can't hold a man down without staying down with him. My God. Is that true? What about that, Don? You can't. If you seek to try to hold somebody back, you have
to true. Ooh, that's so true. And I'm glad you brought that up because, Mr. Dockery, you should be. Man, the location I'm at right now, y'all, it's really strange. The young man that I'm with right now, he sell cars. He's got a car lot.
Okay.
And he showed me the other day something. And as he's showing me, he's saying, now, when I put this in, they're going to react. And they did. Mm. They cut the TV. They just hesitated the TV. They were showing where the Japanese was in the concentration camp. And he said, I bet you they got reparations. And he put it in. Sure enough, the Japanese got $20,000 a piece, reparations.
Mm.
They did cut the phone off here. And, Mr. Dockery, and I was going to tell you something else. I was talking to an individual on the phone the other day about how bad the police is here. Don't you know one parked out here in the front? Just parked. And then I told the dude as we was talking, it was parked out here. Then that evening the state trooper came out here and parked. Stayed a long time. Lights was on. They were parked across the street. I looked out there and then I went to sleep. But to say to y'all, that's so true. You know what I'm saying? And I was going to tell you, too, today, Mr. Dockery, I went to the Salvation Army, the Goodwill. And the young lady in there goes with a young police officer. I thought he was older than I was, but younger than me. And then the other young lady was in there is the cousin to the used-to-be sheriff here, Mr. Dockery. And I want you to keep this on record for me. He's done killed two brothers here.
Oh, boy.
Huffman killed Barbara Brown's sons. Yes, sir. So his cousin was in there today. She had done set a dude up behind Raceway. She went with the brother, and the brother then went to prison.
Mm.
Okay. So to say to y'all, Selma, Alabama, it ain't, don't let them fool you, Doc.
Right.
All what you see on TV, don't let them fool you. And then I'm going to say this to y'all. Rogue Sanders wasn't here in 65. And I'm going to say this to y'all. Jesse Jackson came here, but he wasn't part of the right to vote movement.
Okay.
Don't be tricked.
No, we don't.
Open your eyes and listen very well, because somebody's watching.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, 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 okay. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery, and we got our co-host on, Pastor Ricky Waller here. We're talking from the topic, Booker T. Washington, Guru of African-American Entrepreneurship. Now, 3072, listen to what Washington said, and tell me if this sounds like some people you see in the news media today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is February 22nd, 2022. Now, this was said back in 1890-something, okay? The man died mm-hmm. in 1915, so go figure, mm-hmm. right? Listen to this. Tell me if this, quote, there is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public, having learned that they are able to make a living out of those troubles. They have grown into the settlement and habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances, but they do not want to lose their jobs. What about that 3072? Does that sound familiar in 2022?
Yes.
We ain't going to call no names. Go ahead.
A little familiar.
Huh.
Yep. I mean, I could see it on both sides to where, what do I want to say? People are being exploited. Let's just say that African Americans are being exploited.
Uh-huh.
But then again, we are exploiting ourselves sometimes.
What?
Mm.
Wait a minute. Now.
So I'll say that and just be fair and just stop.
Well, no, don't stop now. You're talking straight now. You're talking straight. Now, what about that? Is it possible for me to take my struggles and my problems and to use that to make money, Doug? Surely.
That's true, Mr. Docker. You know what? You know, I'm glad YouTube is out. I'm glad that technology out, because I get to, like, when I get off the phone with y'all, I get to watch just about any of Minister Farrakhan's speeches, some of Elijah mm-hmm. Muhammad's speeches. So last mm-hmm. night I ran into William Pepper, Dr. King's attorney, and Mr. Docker, woo-wee. Boy, they played a game on us, and y'all talking about it too. I mean, they played a game on us, and we fell for it. I was gonna say, how do y'all feel today about the verdict that we got of the three dudes that killed the young brother?
Well,
down in
Brunswick,
Georgia. How you pronounce it?
Brunswick. Yeah.
Didn't they go to jail? Aren't they going to jail?
Yes, sir. That's the shock, ain't it? I'm gonna ask you. How do you think they're going to react to us?
Who is they when you say they're going to react to us?
Those guys that, you remember, they tore down the Albert Pike statue. They don't pull that down. But you know they still out here on the police forces and the sheriff's department and different groups.
Those
guys got a network, Mr. Dockery. I wonder how they're going to react.
Let me respond to that, Don. And that's kind of what Booker T is talking about. If you spend all of your energy and time being concerned about what somebody else think and how they feel, you don't have time to take care of your business.
That's right.
You ain't got time to take care of your business. And this is what has happened over the last two generations, Don. People have been caught up in grievances and racism and what have you. And our children have grown up now to be chronologically grown, but emotionally immature, and we've lost that time with them. We wonder why they're fighting. They gangbanging, they using drugs and alcohol, and they snatching and grabbing because ain't nobody spent time with them developing them emotionally and socially and economically and educating them. See, we dropped the ball. I said we now. I ain't pointing no fast wallet. I ain't pointing the finger at nobody. I'm putting myself in there. We dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And we got work to do. See?
You got to stay focused.
That's it. That's it. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, there is a generation that's actually hungry and thirsty. I know you all was talking about some things about the little kids at the that was on the corner on the block when I went on the street, and how did they get down there? Well, they were from afar, and they heard me down there 3072, and so immediately, whatever they were getting ready to do, they changed the mindset of the way they were going to go. They came on down there, and making long story short, I really actually have some more footage of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm dealing with it humbly and everything, and but it was really miraculous on knowing how smart they really are, what they deserve, and just think if, you know, you're talking about the people that got charged with the charge from gunning this young brother down, and had it not been much footage of that, it may have been a different story. You know, I mean, to just get honest, you know, just may not have been a different story. So, however, going back to what I was saying about the little kids on the street corner, you all just really get a piece of what they was doing and how they was responding to this other footage that I have. 3072, it is very much, when I say needed, they need to come out and build it on every side of town because you never know what kids, they just want to just see what they're doing, you know.
Right.
And they got involved. You know, and I think the kid, and I'm not saying it in a bad way, because I remember my coming up, I did not open up a Bible at all.
Who read
the Bible.
Yes, he did.
He read it to the point where, you know, if he never read it before, you know, I gave him a chance to see what he thinks of reading, and he really got a chance to do it, and I just admire him for that.
Sure.
And, you know, he warned me over, really, you know, to make me fight even harder for them because they're out there and they just need somebody to guide them, man. And that's what I got out of that. I just appreciate them. They don't even know how much. I mean, I really appreciate them that much to know how they just came down, got involved. And as I said, I have some more footage of them, man. It was phenomenal on the way they were dealing with together.
Yes, sir.
Yes, two of them was 14, and one of them was 15.
Okay. Here's the interesting thing about that. And I'll describe the scene for those who may not have seen it. You were on literally a street, and he had done what you'd normally find in a church, a podium with a lectern, a microphone, and a speaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yep. This is what typically you expect to see in the church. You know what's going on around here, Don? There are a lot of churches, I won't say everybody, but a lot of them are still afraid to open up because of COVID. They still afraid to fellowship. But this man is out there in the street doing what you typically see inside four walls. Now, maybe that's the Lord moving there, Pastor Wallace. Maybe God is providing an opportunity for real folk that are hurting the most to really hear the word and see where it is, because they ain't getting it in these four walls out there. Haven't been getting it for a long time. It doesn't seem like it.
Huh? I'll tell you, man.
Well, yeah, I'm talking as a pastor who's been behind the pulpit for years. The most needing are not getting it when you locked up behind four walls. So maybe God put you out there for
it. Because it didn't work for me until somebody came out. You know, and so that's just only doing what somebody else did for me. And mm-hmm. And I think it's only fair for me to do likewise, because had he not came out of the building, I mean, I don't know what I would have been doing or how far I would have made it, you know, as a young individual. So, as I said, 3072 is really, they sent a message to me as well when they came down and then got involved. I'm talking about just straight got involved. I mean, when I said they put their energy into it, it was like, man, they are really sincere about wanting to hear, you know, from God, and us, they wanted to hear from Christ. I mean, it's like, I didn't tell them to say that. it was actually a great opportunity to see the importance of taking the gospel to the streets. And I think I put it like that.
And let me say this: we're talking about entrepreneurship, and when people hear that, they automatically shut down, because subconsciously, I believe they hear sacrifice. You're going to have to put some work in. It ain't structured.
Yeah.
It's a risk.
Right.
That's what an entrepreneur is, a risk taker, right?
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Come on, Don. Come on.
Here in Selma, Alabama, I've been attacked going in stores, and it's by our people. And the people that attack me, Mr. Dockery, is the ones that don't own the store.
Mm.
But they try to show out for the plantation boss.
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's going on itself. And that's strange. I love to hear what Pastor Waller was saying, and you saying, preach on the streets. I don't think people really read the Word of God.
No, not really. Not a lot of folks. A lot of folks don't. Don, they're going off of what was passed down from one generation to the next. Folklore and hearsay. if you ask, explain what God meant, they couldn't tell you. Because they only, whatever my mama said. My daddy said, my grandmama said, that don't make them a bad person, but it means, Don, you need to what? Study to show thyself approved.
Yes, sir.
Huh? A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Hear a little and then a little. Line upon line. And my God, I wish I had a witness the other night. See, Don,
and then that goes back to what you said, Mr. Dockery. And Christ said, give us this day our daily bread.
Uh-oh.
Food farming business, tool making business, phone making business, house building business, communication and transportation business.
Yes.
So if you like you said, if you don't know God's word, you're like, I tell you, here in Selma, they attack you because you express that, but they in somebody else's business trying to protect somebody else.
Wow.
But they don't have one of their own.
Okay. Don, you all in, hey, Don, that's grape Kool-Aid with a little lemon, and you all in my Kool-Aid tonight, brother. I'm telling you right now. Let me tell you what another thing Booker T said. This brother was on it, man. He was on it. He said, I have learned that success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life, as by the obstacles which he has overcome while trying to succeed. Wow. You hear that, Don? You didn't catch that.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes people think that when you're standing in the limelight and all the lights on you, that make you big. But you measure a man's success by how he came over his struggle. How I made it over. My soul looked back and wondered, 3072. How amazing. I've been through some hard times. That was the songwriter said. But how amazing. My soul looked back and go ahead, 72. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add to what Don said earlier about what we thought about the Ahmaud Arbery thing. I feel absolutely, I was just overjoyed that finally justice was served.
Okay.
And I think that they got a fair sentence, and they got what they should have gotten. However, that should not rob or take away from people, but I keep focusing on those kind of sick people. Devils is what they are, and they come in white, black, Hispanic, all kind. People that do evil, bad things deserve what they got. So as far as that, but no, we should not spend, you know, our lives just focusing on that, because that was terrible and horrific.
It was.
But,
it
yeah,
really
we should
was.
Keep
you
it moving
know, you know
and strive to, you know, keep people well-minded so that
absolutely.
That's not continuing to happen.
Correct.
But you know what was so amazing about that
that's
case?
That's right.
You know what was so amazing about that case, Mr. Dockery? The
what's
lady
that?
Said they wanted her to plea bargain. She said,
mm.
oh, I won't She said
you
she
know what that
justice.
Was about? So they wouldn't have to go into a regular prison, because I'm told I've worked a regular prison, but I've never worked the federal, where it's kind of luxury, so to speak, compared to just the regular prison.
Oh, I
so
see.
They wanted to have, yeah, they wanted to kind of be in comfort zone. And,
well,
and, yeah, I didn't agree well, with that. I felt like
that,
they should have served their first term in prison.
Okay. I was going to say the thing that I would like to, I would look at is that justice was served. And
right.
just like anyone
right.
else, they, you know, they got their sentence and they'll live it out. They'll live it
there
out.
There you go. Yeah.
And that's that. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who haven't. I saw where, I believe it was in New York, this older fellow walked up to a four-year-old and just hit him in the face and knocked
yeah,
him down.
Yeah, isn't that terrible?
What I'm saying is there are a whole lot of people that if we just talked about folk that need to have justice. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? All
mm-hmm.
over the country. It's sad. But what, again, we cannot do is allow these examples to distract us. And this is what, this is my lesson to young folk in 2022 from Booker T. Washington. Don't allow these things to distract you from what you ought to be focused on. See? And here's the funny thing about it, Pastor Waller. In a lot of these urban cities, there are federal resources that are untapped, particularly by minorities, black folk, and black males who are prone to gangbang and get caught up in a dope game. There are resources there, but you know why they don't get them, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, what's that?
Because ain't nobody told them about it.
Oh, okay. That's the reason. Yeah. That's
nobody's told them how to go and get it.
That's right, Mr. Doug. You did on it.
Yeah.
And those
well,
ones that know, those ones that will know, they go get them. And still,
right.
once they get them, they abuse our people with it.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Excuse
that's me. Right.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
My.
And so those young folk are pointing the finger, and they're angry, and they're mad, and they turn around swinging, but they don't really realize that your real enemy is right in front of you.
There you go.
Just like you.
Because. Yeah.
You're right, because they go get the resources, and then when they get the resources, they don't include you in getting the resources.
No.
Well,
no.
But, Don, here's the thing. Just like they filled out that application for that 100K PPE loan, you could have done the same thing.
But you didn't know that,
instead
though.
Of, yeah, well, and no, some of us did know, and we did. But guess
yeah.
what? Now we got fraud charges and all
yeah.
that because we went out acting foolish
but,
when we
but,
had an opportunity right there.
Yes, you're correct.
To do something.
But suppose someone directed you as to how to establish a LLC or a corporation or non-for-profit
uh-huh.
and how to establish your books and how to manage your day-to-day operations. And suppose
yeah.
they told you how it is that when these resources come, you can be accountable. You don't, you got a right to them. They for you. But you got to
right.
be accountable. Now,
mm-hmm.
these, some of these same folk, Don, they're quick to offer you a fish sandwich when it comes time to vote. Uh-oh. Get you a bottle of water and blow smoke up your back. You understand? Because
well,
they want you
don't
vote,
forget the
you?
Music playing with it.
Hey. You know what I mean? Pastor Waller, you know what's up.
And Mr. Dockery, guess what I'm experiencing since
what's
you brought
that
up?
What's that?
When you open up a business, don't forget the good old boys across the street. And he looking at you start a business, and guess what he do? He calls the tax people on you.
Well, guess what? If your taxes are in order, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
There you go.
That's
there
true. That's
go.
True.
Let me tell you experience yep. I had, Don. when I first opened up my insurance agency last year, my office is in the back. And when you come in, there's a chime that opens the door, right? The next to me, Don, is a gentleman that owns, he does nails, an Asian nail store. And they
wow.
do nails, whatever else they do, right? I heard the door chime, so I got up and I walked and I looked. I saw him before he saw me. He's looking around, Don, with amazement. And I heard him say to himself, "How you do this?" not Japanese, but what am I trying to say? And not Chinese. What's the other one?
From Cambodia, Vietnam, Taiwanese.
Yeah, Vietnamese. He spoke enough English to get out of his mouth. How do you do that? So when he saw me, I came up to him. And I guess it was on his mind. He looked at me with amazement. How you do this? How you open that shop next door? To your point, brother, you're supposed to look. And you're supposed to ask how you do that. I hope more babies, Pastor Waller, ask. How you do that? How you do that?
That's
huh?
Right.
When they see you on
Mr.
the block.
Dockery, should... Mr. Dockery, he is your baby. Asian
what
babies are your baby.
Watch out,
so he's supposed to ask minute. Daddy, how did you do this?
Don, you clown. Listen, Pastor Waller, when those are shall they see you out there, excuse my vernacular, my street vernacular here, but that sounds so good. It sounds good to say little shout, little brother.
Yeah, yeah.
When they see you out there, they're supposed to ask, hey, what you talking about?
Yeah,
they're supposed to say, what you
yes,
reading
sir.
Up there? Huh? They both do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they did.
And the hope is that this will become so infectious all around urban America that there are individuals that are standing up, that are representing and modeling Don, such that they would be like Nicodemus. What must I do? Mm.
Go ahead.
They may sneak at night, though, Don. They may sneak at night, so won't nobody else see them. But they want to, what must I do? I want some of that. Give me some of that. What I got to do to get some of that? That's the question we have to make people ask, Don. And when we are transformative, Booker T was one of those brothers in his time where he wasn't really doing this to get attention. He was doing this because it was in his heart. And guess what it made people ask? How I get some of that? What are they doing that at?
Yeah.
Huh? What are they doing that at? They doing it at Tuskegee. This man was able to uplift a lot of brothers who couldn't read.
Well,
go ahead, 72. Go ahead.
I mean, I think it's very unfortunate that people, and I'll just say mental health, is playing a major role here in 2022 because it does affect you being able to pull yourself up, you know, by the straps or even listening to somebody that's trying to be encouraging or giving you some knowledge or truth.
Yeah,
it's like you said, we are so focused on the things that has went wrong and the things that has been, you know, that others have been battling that it's like now people, half the people don't even believe in God no more, it looks like.
What? No, come on.
You bring up God sometimes, seriously, and they looking like, who?
What's going on?
Ain't no God. You know, it's,
you're
just tough.
You're correct, though. You got to remember, Albert Pike was the founder of the Scottish Rite Masons. And his quote was, the demons created Eve. And those people that was around, we got caught up in to their thought process. I was talking about that the other day with Mr. Dockery. Like Caligula, he's a Roman emperor that made love to the man and the woman and put them in the power and pull up. You get so caught up in the devil's stuff that you don't even know what God's stuff really like.
Okay. Don? You just that was a good inroad to this other quote from Brother Booker, from Brother T. He said, associate yourself with people of good quality, for it is better to be alone than to be in bad company. I wish I had a witness here than before.
Yeah, let
me say that one more time. Let me say that one more time. That sounds good right there. Booker T said that, man. This was back 100-something years ago. Booker T said, associate yourself with people of good quality. For it is better to be alone than to be in bad company. Son, if I go, if I have to go all by myself.
That's it.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's it.
But Pastor, I read somewhere, somebody said broad is the way that leads to destruction.
Yeah.
But narrow is the path. Is that what you ain't read that?
That's what the scripture said, man. I believe in what it says because it's still happening, and that's why I think what 37:2 said. Some people that haven't read that, you know, wouldn't believe that even exists. And you know, there's so many people that now that actually carry themselves as if they don't believe they die. And that's the thing that's so brokenhearted, you know.
Right.
You know, when you hear somebody say they don't believe you, it can break your heart in pieces just the thought of it. It's like, okay, why all of a sudden he doesn't exist? There was a time I just still believe this, and I know growing up that he was at least mentioned in the school, in the elementary school.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Known of him anyway, so in spite of what he did after that, you know, and then it was just to say, take it out of here. We don't want to hear that name. It's a distraction. You know, it could have been a distraction big time. So they had to start doing something else, and that's when all this the power, you know, came up on the people that then it's no way we can deny that the devil does have power. It's not like you don't utilize it.
Yeah.
Take God out, then who else power are you going to, you know, attend to?
Right.
And that's as sad as it can be, but it does happen. And so, as I say, no fault of most of the young people, no fault of their own for the most part. And so it's good to get out there and maybe find out what's happening with them and, you know, see how they really actually, you know, they're seeking, man. You know, it's like, other than that, they're going to have the idle time, you know, while they're out there. And I'm pretty sure find something to do. I know when I was coming up, we was going to find something to do now. You know, that was a saying, do something even if it's wrong.
Right.
Man, how,
just like this, we're going through COVID, and now we got the Ukraine, but you hear God saying, be fruitful and multiply.
Watch it, boy. Watch out, Don. You trying to preach on me tonight. He said, Don, be fruitful and multiply.
Multiply. Yeah. And he ain't talking about just sex. He talking about on all levels.
Wow.
All right. See, wow. And people get that so twisted, Don. I agree. Yep. Yep. On many levels, you should be multiplying. Your works should be multiplied. Your actions should be multiplied. Your thoughts should spread like Pastor Walla on the corner. Yeah, everything.
My goodness, you know, you all got some really, really, really great things to keep the brothers, you know, pushing. And I do appreciate it. I will say that, and I really embrace it in such a way that you know, it is motivating, because I think after working for all the years that I have, you know, at a level where all I desire was, I didn't even want money. I mean, anytime a person get to a point, and I'm just using for an example of my own personal sum up, you know, how I didn't even want money. I think after peace, I was like, man, getting away from all that money, I ain't got some peace. And now I understand it's just a necessity And so, you know, and I know that people are chasing after this right now, and they're having a hard time not knowing that they're getting ready to get captured into the pattern of it. And it's something that I left behind. So I'm watching it all over again. That's good to continue to watch it. So somebody has to really be on the ground, and I really, really can appreciate, you know, what we're talking about tonight, because after all, you know, my being out there only has been that I just have a heart to please God, and and at some point it was going to be evidence that I stood. You know, it's like just when I'm ready to just give up on them, I still pushed on through it, and you know, and that's just what's going on. And it's a heavy load that's been lifted, and that 3072, what I am believing for the people. Is that they should be okay, and I'm just talking about the city of Nashville, and it can come from abroad as well. I would be all right. By now, the city of Nashville should be able to say, well, this brother's been real. He was real from the start, but it was just hard to believe because of my character as a whole. You know what I mean? It's like from what they see in me, from how they hear me talk, and you know, you combine all that together. They don't know I was in the fast lane for so many years, you know, that I had to be aware of things that was going on. I was all over the place, you know, as a young brother growing up, caught up into the game, and that's why I came to expose it. You know, like, you know what I'm not doing before. I've done everything but put a sign over my head and say, look, I don't live like I used to live anymore. You know, I did everything except that. I didn't put a sign over my head. You know, it wasn't like I was glorified or denying it. I just say it should be by now they should all be convinced and want to find out what it is that they can do to assist. It's something that's very needed. I mean, these kids are out there. They are there. It's evidence that they're there. Yeah. And, you know, somebody...
Don,
you know,
had a question for you, Pastor. Pastor
Wall, I got to throw something at you. You and Mr. Darkley. I want y'all to go to the Nation of Islam and Nashville's Christian ministers. And the reason I say that, I was watching the Islamic conference the other night in 97 with my dad and Minister Farrakhan. And you know what shocked me? That when we brothers that was on the Christian side joined the Islamic brothers, guess what? The brother got praises from the brother from the East. But when the brother got praises from the brother of the East, you know what he said? He said, I couldn't have made it here if it wouldn't have been for my Christian brothers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So test it out right there in Nashville and see what happens.
Don, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I've been there already.
What?
I don't tell you everything. Don, I don't tell you everything I do. I haven't been there already.
Yeah.
I have an open time. I mean, but I appreciate what you're saying, Big Buck. I appreciate what you're saying. Listen,
so guess
Don,
what? You're all on the same team, and you fight the same common enemy.
Yeah. Let me tell you what Booker T said over 100 years ago, Don, and that goes back into, in this last 20-something minutes we got, this may be a good wrap-up. Guess what he said, Don? He said,
what did he say?
Those who are happiest are those who do the most for others. That sounds like Pastor Waller right there. When you busy serving, Zebedee had two sons, James and John. And when they saw Jesus, they pulled him over to the side. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, Don. They said, hey, man, hook us up, man. Put me on the right hand. Put my brother on the left hand. Hook us up, Jesus.
Hold him up.
And you know what he said to him, Don? Those that are greatest among you will be your servant. You want to be recognized.
Right.
You want the limelight? Serve. He posed a question, Don. Can you drink of the cup that I got to drink of? You want to be great? Can you sip this cup? Somebody say sip your cup.
Sip cup, but now, so it goes back to what Booker T said about putting yourself in good company even when you're serving, because if you're in bad company, then you're not going to get the recognition. and people are going to just intentionally try to get over and use you.
Yeah.
That happens.
So, Don, too often people are looking for the right ingredients, that being some cameras and some lights to be put on them before they get out there and make a sacrifice for anybody. But that's your reward, see? That's your reward right there. That's your reward. I think about the story, Don, of the Good Samaritan going down this meandering world called Joppa, huh? And the man was brutally beaten and robbed and towed down. And some people in their philanthropies, some Pharisees and Sadducees, they had their big coats on, their robes done, they jury, they bling, you understand? And they thought, man, they just kept on walking. Maybe they were in a hurry to get to a very important meeting, Don. What do you think? Huh? But the Samaritan, which was somebody that ain't even supposed to talk to Jew folk, see, he stopped and he helped the man along the way. Yeah. I ain't come to preach, but I feel my help right now. I can feel my help right now. Yes, sir. And not only did he help him, but he gave his lad. He said, "Listen, if you need some more, I'll pay you when I come back. And take care of this man. Get him the help. Get him healed. Get him home. Right? If you need some more, I'll give you some more. I ain't got it right now, but I'll bring it back." How many of us can do that? How many of us can do that? Okay. All right. I'm done.
32. Mr. Darby, you give me tonight. You know, in the Christian term, we say it, you know, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But in Islam, it's the Mahdi, when the Mahdi arrives. But they both mean the same thing.
Yes, sir. Yes,
but
yes,
different,
yes.
Different dialects.
Okay. I heard the prophet Amos say, "Don, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, who could but prophesy? Leave me alone, Don. I'm trying to do talk straight. I'm trying to do talk straight, man. You're trying to mess with me tonight, brother."
All right, bro.
We're talking about Booker T. Washington, the guru of African-American entrepreneurship. What this brother did was modeled how you can get past a bad experience and make it for yourself. That's what our babies need to hear today. Yep, we got some ugly things that have happened, and some people are doing some ugly things today, but you still got to make it for yourself. Education is a powerful tool, and starting your own business. Some of us don't want to work for nobody else. I don't blame you. Shoot, I did it for a long time. Pastor, I started looking at my resume and said, "Dad, I made folk a lot of money, man. Let me make some of this for myself." Look at what I've done for other people. Let me make some of this for myself, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it, Don?
Nope. Don't remind me of that, man.
I ain't saying nothing wrong with working for nobody else. Heaven knows I've done it. But I'm just saying at some point, you take your skill set. That's what Booker T was saying. Listen, we built the railroads. We helped Rockefeller break through the ground and pull oil out the ground. We helped the White House get erected. Huh? We helped Carnegie lay down steel.
That's right.
We helped them blast out the Niagara Falls, then Canada and New York. What you mean we can't have none of this American pie? Look, man, America wouldn't be here if it wasn't for us.
That's right.
Yeah, I ain't gonna preach, Don. Go ahead, Don. Take it over.
But it's true, Mr. Don. We were talking about that today. The Tesla electric car. I bet you 100. We invented most of the stuff in there.
Oh, man, what are you talking about?
We ain't get the recognition, but I guarantee you, if you dig deep enough.
Well, see, the least thing you hear about is that you hear about Ben Franklin claiming that he invented electricity. But what you don't hear, it was a brother who showed him how to get it done. He just took credit for it. Uh-oh. The War of 1812, the Spanish War of 1812, they used these cannons and these steel balls. And a fellow by the name of Montgomery Bell, Don, he created those balls. He came from Ohio, came through Kentucky, and wound up in the dictionary. He manufactured them. But guess who was his number one engineer? A brother by the name of James Worley. They got an area of Tennessee.
Oh, don't tell me that, Mr. Dockery.
Yeah, but I'm trying to tell you like it is, Dad.
Mr. Dockery, you telling me? Listen to this. This is God honest truth. My mother used to go to Worley Furnace every year and hear the Distant Travelers play.
Yes,
you know what
sir.
I'm saying? And the church is named after James Worley, apparently.
That's
and then, Mr.
Right.
Dockery, catch this one. Catch this, Mr. Dockery. I got some of Montgomery Bell blood going through my veins.
Is that right? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Worley Furnace is named after his brother. And let me tell you the story about him. The story is told that Bell took him to New Orleans with him. That was his favorite slave, right? And one of the other slave owners down in New Orleans said, how much would you take for this boy here? He told him, he said, listen, you be careful how you speak about him. He's not just my servant, but he's my friend. And he's one of the greatest engineers ever known. Now, he died on his deathbed. On his deathbed, he told me the story. Huh? Because he recognized just how good the brother was. What am I saying? We could spend time sulking, crying, complaining, cussing, fussing. But why not use that energy to be productive? 72. Why not take that same energy and time to do something that's going to last for you and your generations to come? Why not do that?
I say do it.
Yeah. I mean, I know why you're upset, and you know what I mean, Don? I know. I get it. At some point, though, you got to calm yourself down and ask yourself, how am I going to get away from it? I asked the question, Pastor Waller. If somebody was to grab me from behind, tie my arms together, my leg, blindfold me, fly me over to Okinawa, Japan, and drop me in the rice fields. What do I do next, Pastor Waller? I'm a hope,
that's
Pastor.
A lot of work.
Pastor, I hope if they ever let me loose, I'm going to ask somebody, how you say Yako, get me out of here in Japan, in Japanese. I'm going to try to learn the language. I'm going to try to learn some math. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if I get home, what y'all got to eat around here? You feel what I'm saying?
Well, they got some dogs, some monkey hips.
See, there you go.
If you're okay with that, some raccoons.
Well, I'm going to survive. I bet you that much, Don. I bet you I'm going to adapt and overcome. I bet you I'm going to do that. Now, if you keep me tied up and you just leave me there, I may not be able to do nothing for myself. Anyway. Okay. Listen, we got a few minutes here. We've been talking about Booker T. Washington. Summation. What this brother did was to offer a template. I think that should and could be used in 2022. If we're going to educate young folk, we won't say them in the same words he did, but I think babies will understand that 3072 when you tell them very simply, don't permit nobody to degrade you, bring you down by making you hate them. I think they'll understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yep.
Don't you think little shorties will understand if you told them that when you try to hold somebody else back, you got to be down there with them too? You think they can understand
that? You know, and they really need to understand it now with the rise of guns and, you know, people shooting each other, these children, mainly.
Sure.
Honey, don't you know when you go and shoot up their house, Okay, so you may have killed them, but guess where you're going? You're dead too.
Wow.
You're going to jail for the rest of your life. You're done.
The devil get two for one. 72, the devil get two for one. One in the grave and the other locked away in a social death in jail. That's a shame. That's a shame.
I was reading how the uprise on road rage with people shooting.
Yeah.
You're so stupid. Like, you're so dumb. What sense does it make? Okay, so you shoot the other person in the car. Then what do you think is going to happen to you?
Where are you going when you get through?
I mean,
is it just
so like he said, if I hurt you, then I've just hurt myself because there's a consequence behind. Right. So
well,
I don't even want you back to his earlier statement to drag me into no mess like that. Because now you're putting me in harm's way, in danger.
Wow.
Of me ripping your lights out. I mean, so just stay away from me. My company is good all by itself. I'm good.
God.
Okay.
My God. Well, do you think they'll understand that if you tell them, listen, be careful who you hang around? Because it's better to be by yourself than be with a bunch of knuckleheads. You think they'll understand that? Oh, okay. Hey, this brother had some powerful words over 100-some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they can be in churches, Pastor Wallace. If this is spoke over the pulpit, outside, on the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
That can make a difference. That can make a difference for some Michelle.
Yeah.
That's some practical.
Yeah,
that's a practical. Yes, sir. Man, what have you done with the clock, Pastor Wallace? Man, you keep see.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're gonna have to get to take the clock away from you because you'd be messing up the time. Man.
Yeah.
You...
man. Just a little touch, man. Just a little touch. And all of a sudden, the clock started rolling.
Oh, man. Great conversation. Great conversation. Booker T. Washington. This brother was all about done empowering you to do for yourself. I'll say this last thing, and I'm going to turn the floor to you all to go over to it. The writer said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their creator with some inalienable right, that being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are establishing among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the government. I would tell you, that the secret, the best-kept secret in America, Don, is that when men establish themselves spiritually, economically, guess what? Ain't nothing they can do. They got freedom then. They control their life, and they govern themselves. I'm done. I'm dropping the mic now. Let me, final word there, 72, final word.
Preach the gospel and they'll understand as long as you're trying to tell them, but you got to keep trying to tell them.
Right.
And today is 2/22/22.
Mm.
So I don't know what that means. Sounds like
if you
play the lottery, go back
play that
and
number.
Fresh off
play that
or
number
okay.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. I know you've been working hard there. We appreciate you, coming out with us there. Don?
Of course.
Give me a final word, big brother.
Enjoying the night like I said, I've been watching my YouTube and, you know what I'm saying, and watching positive stuff, you know, on the ministry, man, and it's just like, I just feel good, man, you know, that today's technology have good positive stuff on the TV, and like you said, you ain't got to go out there in the world. You can just sit here and get good word.
Yeah, you guys have brought some very, very, very powerful conversation and thought tonight. And I hope that those who will listen to this after the fact will find the same hope and upliftment there from their slavery to their own freedom there. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. All right, Pastor Wall, I'm snowballing it to you, man, so you can give us a final. You can bring it home for us, man. Bring it home.
Hey, man, I just enjoyed everybody tonight. I think it's been a joy. It's been a lot of peace tonight. And dealing with the way issues can be dealt with. You know, the scripture says about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34, it talks about it. It says, do not be deceived. If evil communication corrupts good habits, and it's making us aware, it says, awake unto righteousness and do not sin. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So there are people that are supposed to know better. And then, you know, he's saying, look, it's going to lead to your shame if you know that there are people that don't know any better, that don't have the knowledge of God, and you're not leading by a good example.
Mm-hmm.
He says, look, I'm letting you know that you're going to be held accountable because there are some that don't have the knowledge of God. And I love that, because if I don't have the knowledge of God and somebody else has it, and then they get with me, that means that you corrupt in good manners. I'm seeking, and then here you are getting with what I'm doing. You know, so we got to look at that example that 3072 was talking about. You know, keep on preaching the gospel. I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
And they will listen. You know, and you'll never know until you carry it out. So appreciate Brother Don and everybody who came in and was sharing, and Pastor Doctor, keep up the good deed, brother. I yield back to you on that note.
Praise him, praise him. The Mighty Clouds of Joy said it best. They said, if Jesus can't fix it, nobody,
mm-hmm.
nobody can.
Watch out.
Nobody can. Listen,
Lord,
we'll see y'all next month for another episode of Talk Straight. Let's listen to what they said. If Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. Can't find it.